Hey there, dudes and dudettes. Time to wax up your boards and go catch the big wave over at the LPN Beach Blanket Bingo. One night only at the Balboa Theater in San Diego, October 20th. Come and check out all of the cool cats and the crazy dogs at LPN. Every show in the entire network, each one pulsating and grinding in front of you for your entertainment pleasure. We're all gonna catch the big kahuna, and I'm talking about that big greasy guy. I'm talking about a wave.
Ew, it's seaweed! It's seaweed!
Just so you know, it's gonna be inside of a theater, so any physical wetness you experience is your own personal body heat or the sweat of one of the performers. For live stream tickets, go to veeps.com/LPOTL to watch from the comfort of your own home. Again, that's veeps.com/LPOTL. Come and check it out. I'm certain if there's a podcast flavor you need on your tongue, we got the spoon for it. Beach Blanket Bingo, baby. Come on, girls, let's dance.
There's no place to escape to.
This is the last podcast
on the left.
Side stories.
From your glade.
That's when the cannibalism started.
Side stories. Yes.
Oh,
oh.
Coming.
You know, it's so refreshing to have him here.
To have what fucking horrible presence are you referring to?
This fucking guy. All right, let me start with a prompt. Okay, so.
Ooh.
Stop. I can't believe we did this. I thought it was like, oh, wouldn't it be fun to hear from other voices on LPN?
Yeah. Let's bring in somebody. Like, it's getting too smart with you on, Marcus. He's on the phone. He's like, Marcus, just side stories is getting too smart. Like, why don't we bring in a big, dumb fucking idiot?
Luke took a duke in a Tuesday night.
I asked for it. I wanted to say, so, all right. I was online, right? I was on a forum. I love my forums.
Okay. Are we going to introduce the show?
We'll do a preamble. Okay. Right before. So I was reading a story that was about this very nice lady, right? She seems sweet.
Mm-hmm.
Lost her father suddenly. Not in a maze. He died. Right? And then all of a sudden, she was like, but she said the thing that he used to do all the time when she was a kid. Is that he used to come into her room while she was asleep,
mm-hmm.
and he used to tickle the bottoms of her feet with his quote-unquote well-trimmed fingernails, right? Which I hate the detail.
Well-trimmed.
Mm-hmm. Hate the detail. Because, again, it's still kind of sharp.
Manicured.
Yeah, kind of sharp. But my thing is that, so she said that when he died, she was like, I know that he's in a freezer right now, waiting to be cremated, but I wonder what's going to happen to his soul. And she says she went to sleep that night, and she knew her father listened, because she felt the same. And she took this as reassuring. She felt the same short fingernailed touching on the bottoms of her feet. And she was heartened by her father doing that to her as a ghost. Mm-hmm. And I guess my question to you both now is, how would you want your dead father to say hello to you?
Ignore me and sit in the corner of the room and play backgammon on his tablet. Would be the way I think for it.
He died doing what he loved.
By the way, I will say, they did say I used to put the cream in cremation because it used to come in Grandmima's ashes.
Now, Marcus, you can intro the show now.
Welcome to Side Stories. Ladies and gentlemen, my name is Marcus Parks. I would want my father to get a hold of me by lighting something on fire in my front yard.
Do you think that that's what he'd do?
I think that's what he'd do. I think he'd pile up a bunch of wood and light something on fire in my front yard and hope. I think he'd be smart enough to do it on the pavement where it wouldn't spread. But yeah, he'd light up, but he'd just probably burn a bunch of trash.
What's the symbolism there? You were all about digging holes.
Yeah,
you
now he's about piling fires.
Up and setting fires.
I'm about talking
digging,
about.
I've been about digging holes, and goddamn it, man, I spent all weekend in my garden. I fucking ripped out the people who lived there before. I ripped out everything they fucking planted, and now it's mine, and I fucking spent so much time in the dirt. My hands smelled like dirt for 2 days because I just kept smoothing in it and smoothing it and smoothing it. Henry Zabrowski is with me as well.
It's not good.
And
whatever he's going through, it's not good.
And
Holden McNeely is here. Holdenators, ho!
It's
welcome.
Over.
They're screaming at me every night on the road. Oh my God, it's
all
been amazing.
All four of them.
All four of them. They meet me at the meet and greet afterwards, and then the greet and meet, I do a second one, and they're like, let us leave.
No.
We've talked to you. And I'm like, no, I want to know where you're from.
We're greeted. We're meeting.
I love that. Yeah, let them know now you're going to fucking pay for this spiritually, not just monetarily.
That is great. But no, as I was planting some bushes in my garden yesterday, I did speak to the earth and ask it to protect me as the dirt protects the plants. And I spent much time with the dirt, bringing it up and putting it down and
you
digging
holes.
You
don't have to be engaged with him, Holden.
And
you don't know. Now I'm scared. Now I'm actually linking with you.
Well, don't link with me because I'm doing the same thing, but with my Rubik's Cube.
Don't even fucking bring it up.
And my watching? PB is 2 minutes and 5 seconds, and I'm going to get one of those dumb timer things you have to put your fingers on that all the nerds use.
You fill me with rage. I can't believe it, honestly. Watching you, audience, you'll never fucking understand the true rage of watching a 40-year-old man go and, like, he just sits, it's on top of your tits, and I'm, like, talking at you. I'm saying important things to you, and you're going...
Oh, so it's
playing Rubik's Cube.
It's on the exact same place that he used to rest his DS while we were in Cowman practice.
Yes.
While he's fucking playing like fucking Phoenix Ace Lawyer. And if we'd be talking about something important, he'd just be like fucking screaming into his goddamn DS.
Objection. Objection.
Well, Marcus was paying attention and playing drums when he was supposed to. And that was annoying too in its own way.
It's called rehearsal. And that's why he was doing it as such. And now I look at you and I understand what it must be like to try to tell Barron Trump to not kill the help. You know what I mean? Like watching just the empty stares and being like,
but what if me wants to?
Hey, but hey, you know what it comes down to? The side stories keep coming. It's a spooky week.
It is a spooky week.
Yeah, I love it.
I don't know what's spooky about it, but we'll get there. There's like, except for the woman getting her toes tickled, I guess if my father came back and he wanted to tell me hello, I imagine I'd smell cigarette smoke.
Okay, I figured so.
Right, you get some form of cigarette smoke. I hope he just watched my wife tastefully nude. You know, and I don't want that, but I feel like
he'd appreciate, like, it would be like going to an art museum or something. He would just be appreciating the work.
Yeah, like that whole room in the Met where there's all those like really beautiful statues and sculptures of like beautiful naked people
like that. Off. You're just like, oh, you know what I mean?
I don't know if you get that horny when you're dead. Because we've had a lot of examples of spectrophilia.
Yeah,
we've talked about women being made love to by
Kesha
ghosts.
Kesha fucked a ghost.
I've heard about this. Now, what is the details on this?
She just fucked a ghost a bunch. She was just hanging out at this ghost place house, and she was just like, ooh! And the ghost would come and be like, bah! With the fingers, and she'd be like, you know what I mean? And
I can't believe I asked him to come do this.
I can't believe he asked him. You knew he was going to do this. Well, that's the thing. You can bring him on. Just why are you asking like follow-up questions?
I don't know.
Don't ask him follow-up.
I thought he'd say a detail.
Get my nut in your butt. She's just like, oh, fuck.
Legitimately
I wrote TikTok.
He might actually have thought back to the things that he read because he runs like several shows.
We did a whole episode about Kesha's entire life story. No, it was one incident, I think, but she was at I don't know. She was staying in some random house and this ghost, he didn't finger bang her bean or whatever. He just sort of like, I think, was kind of a little more romantic about it. You know what I mean? And it apparently was, it could have been a dog or something.
You never know.
You're
enjoying the whole thing and all of a sudden,
oh my God, it's a ghost of a dog. I mean,
oh my God, I like this.
So it's beautiful. That's why she wrote that whole song, I Fucked a Dog's Ghost.
That's what that song was about.
It's right after Praying. Yeah, it's a really good one.
I loved her early stuff. All right, let's get into some stories here. We got one that's like real dumb up top. It's real, like, this is very round table.
Yeah, this is very round table. A hapless bank robber captured easily 5 years ago after handing the teller a demand note with his name and birth date written on the back has been arrested again over a similarly ham-handed attempt to hold up the very same location.
Let's not steal Justin Rohrlich of the Daily Beast, little nom de plume, because I don't even know what ham-handed even really means.
Ham-handed means doing it bad. It means doing it very, like a kind of a blunt object.
Hey, see, I like ham. So I feel like that's a negative way to put ham.
If you're doing it ham-handed, it is indelicately. It's not well planned out.
Yeah,
it's,
you like ham, but you don't want your fucking hands. You don't want to wake up and have ham hands.
Yeah.
You're like, oh! You know what I mean?
What about thinly sliced ham? That is delicate, like a charcuterie.
Mm-hmm. Do you think that'd make you better at driving or something?
Like long, you know how prosciutto is like the long strips? Like, yeah. What if your hands are just
hanging
too long?
Hanging in the outfield today. First hired because he woke up with ham hands.
Help
Zabrowski
me!
For the LA Dodgers.
They won't let me go.
He's catching those balls, though. It's unbelievable.
Like, it's the stickiness of the ham.
Well, pretty much this guy, like, the first time he was arrested for robbing this bank, he was caught because after they gave him the money, he went outside and sat down on the curb and started counting the money.
Now, this guy, Michael,
$400.
That's all he got from robbing a bank.
It was $140 the guy got from me when he robbed Blockbuster.
Yeah, it's very sad because, again, I know this guy is just dumb.
Only $400 from the fucking bank if you're going to rob the bank. Would you be like, hello?
This guy was not great at it. So this is May 22nd, 2018. His name is Michael Gale Nash. And this is in Alaska, the first National Bank of Alaska. He walked up to them and he handed them a note. The first note that he's handed them, which is also like, I don't even know how you just give somebody money. I think partially it's because you're afraid that something's gonna bad is gonna follow up. So
you're also told to just give it to them.
Yeah,
it's insured.
It's all insured. So, but according to court filings, the first note that he gave that started the first robbery was, "This is a holdup. Please put the money they want in the bag. God help us!"
Yeah.
3 exclamation points, right? Now, this second time, he got arrested. He served a year in jail.
A year and a day.
And he's somehow, like, I guess, that's why they call it jail college.
Mm.
You go in there, you actually learn to become a better criminal, but as a matter of fact, it sounds like it's more like he went to Phoenix University versus, like, any form of actual national college, because his second attempt was, he went up to the bank before it was open, knocks on the door. They're like, "Bank's not open yet." And he's like, through the glass, "It's a robbery." He's outside the bank.
The locked doors. And he's sitting there like pulling on the handle. "It's a robbery. It's a robbery."
And then he puts a note through the door, right, that then says, actually pretty close to the original, "This is a robbery. Put the money in a bag and I will walk out. This is a robbery. God help us all. Period." Which I think is important. That shows he knows punctuation, shows intent.
Yeah.
I mean, he does need some help from God. I mean, that is some piss poor robbing. I can't believe it. Oh, by the way, another interesting fact about my aunt was, my late aunt was a bank teller, and she once got the note, right? Mm-hmm. The other part about giving them the money is they got the ink bomb the money. So they pop the ink bomb anyway, so it doesn't matter if you get out with the money.
Just get the ink bombs?
Yes, dude.
That's what I fucking want, dude.
I love ink bombing people.
Put it inside a Halloween candy when you put out the bucket for kids on Halloween. That would be fucking cool as hell. I know, obviously, the explosive part might actually make people pretty bummed out. Kids might lose some fingers, but also, that's where the trick comes in.
Exactly. Bring the trick back. You know what I mean?
Yeah, show a bunch of busload of kids your butt.
Something.
Yeah, really get picked up. Go to the police.
Oh, here, you hold up the bucket of candy. Oh, here's a bunch of candy or my asshole. And then bend over. And
just get fucking the head slammed against the hood of a cop car.
What gets me about this guy is that he was on such a rail when it came to the robbery, because he showed up to the bank having not checked the hours in which the bank was open.
Yes.
Because his note, "Put the money in the bag and I will walk out,"
he thought he'd be inside by that point.
He would be inside the bank. So he was on such a rail that when he hit the locked doors, he couldn't stop. He couldn't stop the plan. It's not like, "I'm going to come back in an hour." It's like, as soon as they came up, he was like, "This is a robbery."
It sounds like he thinks that it's like the way it's done is, whatever you write on the note, they definitely have to do.
They have to do.
Like, so if he wrote, like, "Take off your clothes, do some jumping jacks," like, they literally look at him and be like, "Oh!" Well, just start disrobing.
Have you ever seen the movie Compliance?
Yeah.
Which is based off a real guy.
Yeah, that fucking movie.
The guy that calls in, and he had, like, there was another documentary series about him, too. I forgot what it was called, where he would call into various fast food restaurants, and he would do this thing where he would manipulate people from the outside.
Yeah, that documentary series is amazing.
He'd make them think he was an authority, though.
Yes. And then he would tell them that, and he would say that, you know, like, there was one, someone was suspected of shoplifting from within the store, or one of the employees for theft, and then he'd have the manager go in and say, "You have to strip search this person and take off their clothes. So what you said is some funny little joke is actually somebody's nightmare, you piece of shit.
I get it. But I'm somebody's fucking nightmare.
Oh, I know. It's your daughter.
That person is my wife. I was going to say my wife. But you said daughter. And I think they were, they literally, this is how I ended up here. I was annoying the shit out of them. And they were like, and Lexi was just like, hey, can you go to the studio and annoy the shit out of Henry and Marcus? And I was like, okay.
Yeah, excellent. Yeah. He's like walking down the street yelling at people.
Fucking mailman hates me.
Now, at this at this point, can you tell that you're annoying your daughter yet?
Yeah, because I go, oh, here, and she's like all upset about something. I'm like, oh, it's the Ookie Lookie dance. I just go, oh,
you've been doing this like Ookie Lookie dance with her. You made me do the Ookie Lookie dance for her.
I make everybody do weird dances for her. And she's confused. And she doesn't get it. She doesn't understand.
She's going to be all fucked up. She's going to turn, I don't know what she's going to turn into.
Yeah, dude, I've been building obstacle courses for her now.
She's going to turn into like the hipster grifter or whatever, like showing up and scamming high end hotels, telling her she's like a foreign dilettante, which honestly might really help the brand.
It might.
But so what's funny about the story, to get back to it, is that the two banks, did we say that it was the same bank?
It's the same bank.
Yeah, it's like,
so he did this twice. And so the best part about the end of this is that, so he tries to do, he puts it through the lock door. They're all like, all right, so we're just going to lock up more. So they're like, we're locking the doors. He's like, go ahead, lock up the bank. And then they're like, they call up their employees and say, don't come because there's a guy outside of the bank who's saying he's robbing the bank, even though he's like literally physically, it's that he's physically incapable of doing it currently. And so they're like, don't come. We don't know if he's going to take hostages. And so then they're like, sir, essentially very nicely saying, if you don't leave right now, we're going to have to call the police.
Well, why would you ever do that?
They probably have already called the police, but they were like, you just got to go. And so he was just like, go ahead and call the police. Oh, see what they'll do.
I'll just write on my note, police go away, and hand it to the police. I think he really thinks that.
I was going to tase this guy, but when he put that note, you see, he put it in my, honestly, the fly of my pants. I now know. We got to leave this guy alone. He's smart.
Well, what's interesting about the note is I think there is something there, because if you notice the wording on the first note, he said, please put the money they want in the bag. And I think that's a very important clue. I think he does have something where he thinks that somebody is telling him, or he thinks that somebody is telling him to go rob the banks, do this, give them the note. They will do what they tell you.
Yeah.
I think that he thinks that's what you do.
Yes.
Right.
And that you do a thing where you're like, but you see, I was just following orders. Yeah. Even though you're like, of who? The Grand Masters? I mean, like, if it didn't work for Madame Blavatsky, I don't know if it's going to work for you.
Can't believe nobody ever fucking thought of this loophole. I'm a fucking genius.
I wish they had a magic note, man. I'd be swimming in Hot Dog River right now.
Dude, fucking try it. Why don't you start writing notes being like, you will give me this hamburger for free.
Wait, isn't that chaos magic that I just come on it, right? And
you
it's
might.
Done?
Yeah, sure. Yeah. But you can't. They can't see the cum at a store.
I did it once. I was trying to get this girl back that I was sad about it. And I did it. I thought real hard about it. And I came on the note or whatever. And nothing happened.
You did it wrong.
Chaos magic's bullshit.
Yeah. You did it wrong.
That's
you probably didn't do the sigil right.
Not at all.
Yeah.
I just sloppily wrote,
guess you get back with me.
Get Sandra back in my life. And then
skipped a lot of steps.
You did. Yeah, you can't just write Sandra on a piece of paper and come on it.
Yeah, you skipped a lot of steps.
I did, that's all I did.
No, that's no. You're just like, I just got to come on something.
No, what you do is you.
I really did this, by the way.
You skipped so many steps. Like, and not even, actually, you didn't even, they're not even that difficult.
No.
Like, all you had to do is write out what you want.
Uh-huh.
You take out all of the vowels.
Oh,
you
take the vowels out.
And then you take the rest of the letters and you draw a sigil.
He has no idea how to do
those,
that.
Out of those letters, and then you come on.
It was so hard to fucking shoot, dude. So
yeah, I mean, like, this is fucking stupid.
I felt so silly.
Yeah,
doing
of course.
It.
Really
difficult.
No, that's the power of ritual magic, is you have to get past the first wall, which is feeling like an asshole.
I missed the whole vowel shit. All that shit.
Yeah, that's all wrong. Yeah, God knows. She probably, like, farted herself, like, awake that night.
I think,
she probably did not know. She was like, oh, what's going on? And there was, like a lizard fell out of her pussy. And she was just like, oh, no, there's a spell happening.
That's right. I did wake up in the morning. There was an egg in my bed.
Whoa. Maybe it did work. You should put it under a lamp.
Well, if this guy's going to jail.
Yeah, very much so going to jail for about 20 years.
Yeah, maximum sentence of 20 years. But, I mean, he's got a pretty hardcore, not hardcore, but a long rap sheet. Larceny, DWI. He had a court-martial in 1996 after a brief stint in the military.
You know, that's kind of like almost for criminals. That's like a badge of honor in a way.
Yeah, distribution of drugs. So he got into the army, probably so he could sell drugs.
Wow. And also, that's a dumb idea.
Yeah. God, he's got bad ideas.
Yeah, why would you go to the army to sell drugs?
Well, because that's the thing. Usually, it's the soldiers smuggling all the drugs back. Because that used to be pretty common in Vietnam.
Right.
They would put heroin into the body bags and then bring them back to America.
That's how you make a body
heroin bag
extra depressing.
Yeah.
That's right. Yeah.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Fill it with things that'll kill more people.
I feel like network executives should hire him as an anti-think tank. Be like, all right, what TV show ideas do you have so we never do them?
It's called Hitler's Bath Time.
All right,
cool. Another thing we won't do. Cool, yeah. How does my shit taste? Where I buy shit in a bucket and we get a bunch of congresswomen together. They eat my shit and we say on a level from shit to shitty shit, how bad does my shit taste?
It's called Scream Library, okay? And we all just, we sit in a library.
You were literally just...
I know, I'm pitching the idea.
You are changing Silent Library.
Yes.
You just flipped, you looked at me. You thought of what horrible television shows has Henry been on, and then you decided to repeat.
Would that be the worst? Is that the lowest Hollywood moment of your life?
I've told this story before, but literally it was because I saw a Craigslist ad that said TV show was looking for men with hairy belly and back, and I sent a bunch of pictures of my body.
And this is the time of your life you thought you were dying.
Cancer.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, I never knew that that detail.
That was when Cold and I were working in an office together.
Yeah, but he also had a night job. And so he was just working.
I had three jobs. I had a morning job, an afternoon job, and a night job. And we were doing comedy. And then I paid all the whatever money I had. I'd pull it together and I'd get a pint of Canadian Mist. And that's how I'd go to sleep every night. That's what I'd eat.
Yeah.
I'd eat like two boxes of pasta. And then I drink my fucking pint of Canadian Mist and go to sleep.
And he thought he was dying, and he didn't attribute that at all to
my diet, my lifestyle, no sleep.
Yeah.
Yeah. But then, I just sent those pictures to a man.
Yeah.
I just took those pictures, took pictures of me.
Yeah.
No clothes on, just to this man. And then I went to a studio, and then I remember the woman was outfitting me with the sausage suspenders that they had to eat off me, the band that was there, the weird screamo band that was the contestants there.
Do you remember the band?
No, they were horrible. A bunch of shithead little fuck faces, right? And then all of a sudden, I remember the woman who was putting the costumes on me, and she's like, you know, I also do some of the costumes for Saturday Night Live. You'd really be surprised where people can go in their careers. And I was sitting there being like,
okay, but also, side note, I'm jealous. He's got a TV credit.
He was jealous.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. No, no, no. I, this is all... And little did you know, those pictures you were sending in were to a man at MTV.
I know. That's the thing. I feel like if it was the other way around, he would have made a lot more money.
If it was just fucking just Butthole Nation.
Yeah.
Yeah, I would have been incredible.
But at the time, Holden, you were quite svelte. Me and you were, at the time, we were the exact same size.
I cannot believe, I have body dysmorphia. Yeah. I did not, until I look at pictures now, I'm like, oh, I wasn't fat then.
No.
I'm fat now.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And I look at that guy and I'm like, what was I thinking? Because I had the mindset of a not get laid man, right? But I think
you're a father now and a husband. You're out of that game.
Oh, yeah. Of course, long gone now. But I'm just saying, I learned so many women had crushes on me. Years later,
they were all wrong. Every one of them was incorrect.
Beautiful women, beautiful minds.
Look at me right now.
Yeah.
When we first met, we were the exact same size.
Yep, throwing
away. You can't shame him. We did bring him on here to attack him, obviously, but now you're just shaming his body.
No, this is good. I need this. It's a motivation
for
me.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. I'm going to start working hard soon.
Love that. Love a promise. Nothing like an IOU to yourself, because you're like, that's as good as being done.
Well, did I tell you this? I was changing Winnie, and she pointed at Lexi, and she was like, Mama Booby, Mama Booby, because, you know, and then she pointed at me, and she said, Dad Booby, Dad Booby.
Yeah.
I had my shirt off at that time. It was a rare shirtless occasion. And then Lexi literally, I've never seen her happier in my entire life. She fully doubled over. Like she, it was like in a cartoon. She
harder she's laughed with you.
So hard. And then when he points at my tummy, she goes, dada belly, dada belly. And Lexi is, I've never seen her more beside herself with pleasure.
Hey, man. It's what you deserve. It's what you deserve because now that child is just a mirror looking back at you.
There you go.
Yeah.
It's wow. Beautiful.
Live from your grave.
Well, you want to stay in crime?
Yeah,
let's
do
story?
Let's do another crime.
Let's stay in crime. Let's go down to Florida for our next story.
This is old fashioned.
Nah.
This is old fashioned crime. This is a guy just seeing that there was a market and he was trying to fulfill that market.
And it's an interesting market because this man is being arrested for dealing drugs, but he's being arrested for dealing drugs in the Villages.
Wow. Now, do you ever spend any time at the Villages in Florida?
Oh, are we talking about the weird Disney World?
No, that's, I forget what
the Villages
called.
The giant retirement.
Yeah,
community.
Celebration, yes. Florida.
I saw a documentary about the Villages.
Yes, and they are, obviously, it's a very large retirement, like, I guess you say environment?
Yeah.
In the middle of Florida, you know, and they are, man, they're fucking, dude.
Yeah,
yes.
They're fucking.
Dude, there was this one, in that documentary, there was this one guy that didn't have a place at the Villages. He was living out of his car, just trying to meet other old women to get in. And you watch him, he's like, I got in over there, that building over there. He's like just jacked up with this old lady, just banging her out so we can get a free roof over his head.
Proud of him.
And indeed, this story is all about banging it out. A guy named Reginald Odell Kintzer, he's 77, has been arrested for trying to sell a whole bunch of erectile dysfunction pills.
Dude, look at the smile on this man's face for his mugshot. That's a $10,000 smile.
That's not his mugshot. That's his Villages, like, yearbook photo.
It doesn't matter, man. What? He is happy as a goddamn erect clam.
I feel, and maybe I'm insane for asking this, what is illegal about selling these pills?
It's because he got them. How is this a crime? He got it from a doctor that he wasn't supposed to. They're bootleg.
Yeah.
So these are, he went and got it, but it's like, because what it is, they're just not prescription. What's the term?
I've got, they are prescription, but, you know, he's getting them without the prescription.
Right.
And he's just doling them out. Because, like, say, if you're an old man
a heart
and you have
condition,
and your doctor's not going to give you the boner pill.
You don't even have a penis. You just have a set of balls, and your balls get really weird and hard.
And what's nice about that is then you can use your balls like they were a dick. Right. And then you could put it inside the vagina, mm-hmm. or you know, or in the beehole, right? Because then you get something.
You're
explaining
me ball fucking Henry. Look who you're talking to. Okay?
I know it's how Winnie was made.
No, these drugs, they have such strange names: Snovitra, Velitra,
sure,
Sinforce 100.
Whoa, I don't need Sinforce 100. I feel like that's gonna make you do other shit as well.
I like this one's one, Vitalista.
Oh, Italian.
Yeah. I remember the bodega across from me in New York, in Brooklyn. Every time I'd go in, literally every time I'd go in to get beer or whatever it was, the guy at the counter, he'd point, and Samurai X? Samurai X was
Samurai
the name
X.
of it.
Was Samurai X the one that had Ryu fucking Chun-Li?
Yes.
All you would see was like Ryu's like weird ass. They showed that. They showed the fucking angle from the porno that everyone hates.
Yeah, the between the balls.
Yeah, the between the balls. And yet that was on the cover.
And I'm always like, no Samurai X for me,
I
sir.
Am doing fine,
I'm
sir.
Hilariously not getting laid at this point in my life.
You know, it's funny. I never once in my 16 years of New York, never once did a man offer me Samurai X.
It was his running joke for me. It was a specific running joke for me. And I was like, it's Samurai X. It was the same guy every time. I'm like, all right. I'm just trying to have my 40 of Bud Light or whatever it was.
My question is, have you ever done those? Have you ever taken any of the horny goat weed or
no,
any of that stuff?
I heard such horrible things because it was either you or Eddie who took some.
I won't name names.
Eddie.
It was Eddie. Yeah, it was definitely
that's
Ed.
It. No, but he said the problem was that he's like, you're frighteningly hard.
Yes.
You're also frightened
because
it's an upper, so your heart's going real hard.
Yes.
It's just like, it's very, very scary.
Yeah, and I think he took it out of curiosity, and I would not put anything in my body that I bought from the back of the bodega.
I'm not an upper guy, first of all.
I mean, I love uppers.
Second of all, Second of all, I read a, I think it was a Reddit post where this guy went into full detail about he took too much or whatever, and he had to go to the hospital, and they had to take this like giant, comically large needle and shove it into his cock
it's
and
very
drain
bad.
All the blood out of his penis.
Oh. Yeah.
And he was like, it was like painfully, viscerally, awfully hard.
Yeah.
And you know, to the point where he's like, I have to go to the hospital. Like,
yeah.
You know, when would you ever take yourself to the hospital for an erection unless it was that bad? And like, it just the description. I mean,
well,
it was
it
paragraphs.
Also,
it can
paragraphs. Destroy the material inside of your penis.
The spongy right. material.
Yeah.
I imagine how it works is that it just sends, it activates something in your brain that sends blood directly to your dick.
It's like filled to the very brim of it. And then it's just like the very top of its allowance for any form of pressure.
Yeah, and I don't think any of that stuff they sold in bodegas was like regulated
or
that's like it's on the level of like the spice. Like remember the spice heads we used to always have to deal with?
Oh, yeah.
Spice, yeah. And Ed said when he'd take it would make his toes itchy.
Yeah, that was different. I think that was just because he was like on his hands.
Right.
And his feet were like towards the ceiling and cobwebs.
The only way for his penis to sit properly was he had to do a
full
handstand.
Well, this guy that's going to jail here for selling all this erectile dysfunction drugs, I'm down for this guy because he's like a good time.
It's a smile.
He's got the big smile and he's a good time drug dealer because he was arrested back in 2020. And that's amazing because he's 77 now. So he got arrested when he was 74 for selling mushrooms, weed and ecstasy.
Dude, I would be so thrilled to be in a retirement home and meet that guy.
No, man, it's the hookup.
Yeah. Yes.
Like the dude that's selling X in the Villages. Like, man, that's the best dude in the Villages.
Oh, man, mushrooms on retired is so good.
Can you imagine what that'll be like maybe one day? Just hanging around, you've got your golf cart. You've just been drinking Miller Lite all morning, you know what I mean, watching golf. Just go and you drop a couple of like liquid psilocybin in your eyeballs. And you go down there and be like, I'm gonna go see if I can see some fish at the concrete factory.
We just recorded our gore episode for Wizard the Bruiser. And one of my favorite stories, a guy from the Lamb of God, the metal band.
Yeah.
He like went to their like workshop space and Odorous Arungus, Brocky walked up to him and he was like, hey, what's up, man? He was like, hey. You want some of this? He's like, sure. And he pulls out a beaker filled to the brim and squirts it in his eyeball. The Lamb of God's guy's eye. It was just like 12 hits ass.
This is the problem with being around all these like metal guys.
Gore's workshop.
Yes. Oh, yeah. It was so easy. It was like, and he just spent the whole rest of the night into the morning talking to the walls.
It's one of those, man, where at some point, like, it's a problem. You hang out with all these extreme guys. You got to do all these extreme things where it's like, man, I'm trying to de-escalate.
Right. Yeah. Turn it down.
Turn down the temperature.
Absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely.
Well, the guy from Lamb of God, he had to have been in his 20s, right?
Yeah, this was back
in
the day.
That's when you're invincible. You
this is back in the day. But yeah, he was terrified. Horrible experience.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Very scary.
But this dude, Kenser, he was given 3 years of probation for selling X weed.
They're
going to
throw the book at him now.
Yeah. But that's the thing. He went off of probation in 2021. And then I think he thought that he was just going to move into like the safer world of like dick drugs. He's like, who's going to bust me for this?
Yeah.
Who's going to care?
Who's the victim here?
Yeah. It makes me wonder, like, who actually turned him in?
Like, probably bunch of wives that were like, please get my husband off of me.
I am wrecked. My vagina is, completely
He was never supposed to have this much dick power at this age. Like, it was supposed to slow.
It was supposed to go away. It was supposed to stop.
Yes.
Yeah, but this People Magazine article that we got this story from, it actually has a very funny addendum at the end, or an interesting addendum at the end.
Oh,
there's this kind of urban legend that the Villages is the STD capital of the United States. Everyone says that, you know, old people fuck, they don't care anymore.
Slathering
they
with cum, it's chlamydia university.
And actually, the Villages have lower rates of STDs compared to Florida overall.
Maybe it's because they die earlier. You mean like, you know, when it comes out, you know how like they talk about how like the main reason why the median age or average age in the Middle Ages was 30 because it was like, it's more that so many babies died.
Yeah.
Or maybe it's just like, you know, if you don't get to the test,
right,
then you don't have it.
Or, you know, as my grandmother always used to say, crabs can't live in a scorched bush.
Love that lady.
She is great.
Burn it to the ground.
Well, speaking of burning it to the ground, We've been talking a lot about like family annihilators here on this show, right? We talked about it.
We love it.
We talked about it with our Jeffrey McDonald series. We talked about a family annihilator last time I was on Side Stories a couple of weeks ago. And the thing that Henry always says is that, you know, you can just leave.
Yeah. There's no reason to kill the whole family. It's actually a lot of trouble.
Yeah.
Like what you should do at any point is get in a car. Just drive to Mexico.
Well, especially back in the day. I mean, now it's a little bit harder with the social media. But I mean, it's insane how many dudes would start an entire family and then literally just go like an hour down the road to the next town over and then just started another entire family.
Be like, you want more family? You didn't like family one.
But this guy, he's from Texas. He was a developer and a home builder, and he did actually try the just going away method. He tried disappearing, but he did it very badly. What he did, because this guy was in a ton of debt. He had spent all of his money on Super Bowl tickets and World Series tickets. He like got a bunch of meet and greets with all these athletes. He was living like the high roller lifestyle, and all of it was coming from embezzled funds.
It's very interesting because it sounds like what he did, which is like, it's such a dumb TV show idea that he got a big job and then something snapped inside of his head. Because, you know, with contractors, what you learn, right, is that they're on a timeline that only God knows. There's only Pan and the pantheon of the Roman gods have any idea but the actual schedule of a contractor. Because they'll say, like, coming out this week. All of a sudden, it's Thanksgiving. You know what I mean? And where this guy shows up being like, and now like you got family there, but now they're ripping out the concrete. You know what I mean? He's just like, you want it. You know, now you want this. And so
he comes in. He's like, I've been thinking all weekend. What if we put a bathroom in the sky? Yeah. Like, how would that even?
Buddy, anti-gravity magnets, dude? Fucking get me in on that. But I think that he got the money. And then he was like, you know, fuck it. Audi 5000. He bought like $100,000, like fucking some big get he got.
Some Dodge Ram TR. No, just his truck was $100,000.
Yes.
The Dodge Ram TRX.
For some reason, he got this big gig and then he just fucking spent all of it on. And also Super Bowl tickets. So dumb.
Yeah, it's so dumb. But it wasn't just that gig. I mean, he was doing it. Once he got it from the big gig, he started doing from like smaller ones. Like, and he was so brazen about it, or at least he thought he was so clever. He actually got a vanity license plate that said, hide it. Like, because he was taking all this money. And, you know, he had two houses. He had a second home in Galveston, like down, you know, on the coast, on the, you know, Gulf of Mexico. He had a Dodge Ram TRX. He had an Escalade. He's staying at luxurious hotels, resorts. And finally, one day, like, he feels the walls closing in around him. Like, he finally sees, like, okay, this shit is coming to an end. So what he does is, he, instead of like, you know, the whole thing that usually happens with family annihilators is, I don't want my family to suffer the embarrassment of being poor.
Yeah, they're right. This change of status is something that my children and my wife can't handle, so they have to be turned into corpses.
That's an embarrassment I enjoy, actually, that my wife and child get to see. It's great.
That's for them to see.
I come in, I'm like, I've been hopping some trains. They're like, why are you hopping trains? You work with the podcast.
You said, I'm free! Because I'm free, damn it!
So what this guy did is that he took his $100,000 truck, took it out into the country. Not even in the country. He just took it out to like somewhere in the middle of town and then set it on fire.
Yeah, dude. And act like, I guess that like Al-Qaeda took him. You know what I mean? Like, I don't know what he set it on fire and then he just disappeared. Meanwhile, they're all like, all the money that was for this like big, like building homes contract is also gone.
Yeah.
And so they made an announcement when they found him. They made this like, very funny. The police in their own way have their own shitty sense of humor where they were like, it looks like that we finally have reunited Mr. Dedamore with his family. Mm-hmm. Like this idea of being like, well, thank God he's safe. Yeah. And now comes the avalanche of charges.
Yeah. Mm. They found him at a bus stop in San Antonio.
Yeah.
Like
God.
Six days after his quote unquote disappearance. That's as far as he made it. Is San Antonio, a bus stop.
Why is he taking the bus? Does he have this money?
Because
he burned his truck.
It's true. And bus is one of the last truly anonymous ways to travel.
Ah.
Like you could still just buy a ticket for cash. You don't have to have your name on
especially
the ticket.
Especially if you ride a ghost bus.
Oh, yeah. And then you have to deal with the... Oh!
those fucking ghosts on
so,
that bus.
So, Holden, I'd like for you to sort of break down how do you plan to disappear from your family?
Great question. What individual hides in plain sight? the clown. The clown hides in plain sight. That's right. I would create a fake traveling carnival. So you could never, I'm never staying in one place at once.
Oh, so you're going something wicked this way comes?
Yes.
Very spooky. It's
carnival, probably, please.
Yeah, carnival. No, there is a carnival. The Showtime show?
Yes, the Showtime show. So there'll be a bunch of fucking and sucking and stuff, right? That happened, right? It was like Oz, but at a carnival.
It was, yeah, it's just
absolutely
like
not.
Oz.
Neither one of you watched Carnival.
I watched the first couple episodes.
It's one of my favorite shows. It's so sad that it ended in a cliffhanger. No, it's because it had Clancy Brown and he was fucking awesome. And it had the little person from Twin Peaks. He was one of the main characters.
Oh, yeah, he was great.
It was an amazing show. But no, yeah, you could hide there.
And how many like penis sucks were in the show? Like 14?
There were
15?
Actually a fair amount. Now that I think about it, there were some. Yes. There was they called a jiggle show.
Yeah.
And those women were sex workers as well.
There you go.
For a time.
Yeah, I saw some tits in that.
Yeah, there were plenty of tits in that.
Yeah,
I mean, it was an HBO show from the late 90s. Of course there's tits in
that. And there was even that one part, it's like, now I'm not going to show you tits, I'm going to show you my ass. And he pulls his pants down, but it's just also tits.
Yeah.
Which is crazy. It was like, I put tits on my ass.
Sign me up.
Love the show.
So you think that somehow you will be able to pull together a premiere television version of a erotic carnival.
Yes. I will be Blonzo, my clown character you've met before.
The audience doesn't know. The audience has no idea who Blonzo is.
Yeah.
But you're going to be using a clown character that is known to the person that you embezzled money from.
No. I'll be in disguise as a clown.
But you've taken money
carnival.
From us.
You've taken money from us.
But
from
you
the
won't recognize me because I'm in full, constantly clown makeup.
I think, unfortunately, I can recognize you from fucking 500
yards. I'll lose the weight first.
Just the simple fact it's the bumps. You know, not to get in there too hard, but it's you're covered in bumps.
All right, how about this? We change it up a little bit. It's inspired by a different film, okay? I go like, I think I want to run around the world as a way to help the world, you know? So I just start running.
So you're just going
to
become an off-brand Forrest Gump.
It'd be like Forrest Gump and everyone, you know? So how you catch me?
You know
I'm
what?
Always
he got national attention.
I was about to say, what's interesting about every single one of your plans is that they attract massive amounts of attention.
Yeah. None
how
of this
are
is
you going to catch me? I'm always running.
If you're always jogging at a slow pace?
Yeah, I can hit you with a car.
Yeah, but also as soon as you catch me, you grab me and whatever, try to pull me into a car, I'll be like, oh, life is like a dog's
you can pretend all you want, but you're just going to have to do it in court.
Be like, look at this sweet man. Look at this sweet, simple man. Then look how they're hurting this sweet man.
Yeah, I don't know if that's going to work for you in court.
I'll be like, chickens walk down the street to a different life is like a dead cow.
You remember how I said before, Side Stories was getting too smart.
Yeah, I remember that.
And I feel like now we're heading towards the pendulum swing towards too far to the other side.
Catch me, bro. If you think you can catch me, I'd like to see it. Fine. Let's do it. Let's simulate this. I'll have a big bag of money. I'll be dressed like Forrest Gump. You're right behind me. You're like 10 paces behind me. And we'll see if you can catch me.
Nothing would make me happier than to watch you run away. You can just run.
I ran a half marathon, damn you.
10 years ago.
And almost as many years as there are miles and a half marathon ago. That's when I ran it. But, you know, still.
Fucking believable.
But, okay, great. Fine. You catch me. Then, oh my God, look what these guys are doing to this sweet, simple man. And then you'll be the enemies of the state. And then I'll, you know what I mean? And then I'll have a picture with Obama or some shit. You know what
Obama's
I mean?
Obama's not going to grant a picture for you.
No.
I don't think he is. You need to have a Netflix
deal.
Well,
it's not a wish. I don't think he's going to grant it. I'll just fucking take it.
We could tell him you have cancer.
I'll tell him I have all of it. I'll be like, oh, I'm a simple cancer man.
I've got Alzheimer's of the feet.
Yeah, yeah. My feet are itchy from my boner pills I took earlier today. You know what I mean? I'll just pull some ad in there. I'll throw everything in there.
I got to tell you. This is my Obama impersonation. I got to tell you. Blonzo. Best story I've ever heard. You like that? Is that good?
Can we have a fucking picture, you fucker?
Unfortunately, I will not allow myself to be seen with you or next to you for in any way, shape, or form.
Live from your grave.
I can take this back to serious.
Thank you.
I can take this back to something.
Intellectual?
Yeah,
intellectual.
A little more complex, please, Marcus.
Intellectual. Okay, I don't know about intellectual, but it is serious.
Okay.
In the coming months, investigators will be piecing together the identities of 115 bodies found in a seemingly desolate building in Penrose, Colorado.
Now, this is what we've covered a couple of stories like this on Side Stories, where there's something about funeral homes in certain ways and how bodies are disposed of and how we find out there's actually a huge not only a market in people just buying organs out of coolers, right? Like, that's like a thing, but also just using bodies to kind of ship around. Like, you know, one of the guys that was a part of the, like, I want to say one of the mortuary scientists side of Harvard was selling bodies to like people who have like Etsy shops and people who sell bones on, like, you know, in oddity stores across the country. There's like a huge market for these bodies. It's kind of like how people embezzle funds, like from a hedge fund, mm-hmm. but they're doing it with your fucking nana's corpse.
Yeah. But with this case, this is more just one of those things where the work keeps piling
right.
up and it keeps piling up. And you think one of these days I'm going to get to it. One of these days
I'm going
to
get there. Oh, yeah, yeah, I'm gonna I get see there. That. Yeah.
And then eventually you just kind of start to think that you're like, you know, maybe this problem will just take care of itself.
Oh, yeah.
Magical thinking takes over.
It's the everything drawer in your kitchen, but yes. just the body
with
corpse.
Room.
Yeah.
Yeah. Corpse.
Yes. This is this happened at the Return to Nature Funeral Home, which boasted an embalmment-free burial. Oh. No embalming. But that means that you got to get the body in the ground
body.
As fast as possible.
So what do? They just chuck it out a fucking car window? Like, what do? They just leave it for a bunch of possums to live in?
They use old techniques, you know, and then they bury you in a biodegradable coffin, you know, something that's wood, something that's going to break down.
Yeah, and I get this all the time.
And you just return to nature. But the problem is that they just kept piling up the bodies in the back.
I don't trust any of this shit because Natalie really wants to do the thing
right.
where she's buried in a
bird's nest.
Yes,
or whatever.
Where it's like a seed
the tree
casket,
thing.
That tree thing. She really wants to do that. Yeah. But I'm just like, baby, I don't know if it's real. I think that sometimes they'll say like, yeah, wait, she filled her fucking whole ass with seeds. And you're like, they can say whatever they want. Your body's gone. If I'm already traumatized, I'm not going to go in there and be like, let me see it.
Yeah.
I want to see your corpse in there. You mean like, no one's checking.
Put her in the pod.
Yeah, once it's in there, like, you know, like, so we're just trusting these people that are also in this extremely morbid industry in the first place.
What if it makes like a shitty tree? Like a bitch ass tree. And then everyone's like, look at that look at that assy tree.
You see that? That's called the hanging tree. You know what I mean? Like, it looks like a gallows. Like, it's like a long, like in the movie Poltergeist.
Yeah, like a big butthole or something. You know what I mean?
These orange is a shark.
Kids make fun of it. Oh, and it's like the local tree. All the kids make fun of
it. Yeah, it's just a tree that looks like it's got a big butt on it.
Right,
now you're at the big butt tree. Yeah,
that's the thing. And like, they make internet porn illegal, so they start doing weird things to the tree to
fuck
arouse
the tree.
Themselves. Yeah, exactly.
Again, new industry. That's something else. Now we've actually stumbled into a new way that capitalism heals itself.
You know, I remember when I was a kid, you know, when pornography was not so readily available.
So worried about where this is headed. Yes.
It's all right. All of his stories have already been told.
No, it's fine. No, on the playground, there was this tree that had growths out of it that looked like breasts.
Yeah.
And so we called it the titty tree.
Uh-huh.
And you'd go and you'd meet near the titty tree.
Right.
And kids would stare at the tree and, you know, you'd look like, oh, that tree looks like it has a pair of breasts. And oh, isn't that wonderful? And so we just stare at it and look at it and you touch it every once in a while.
Yeah, sure. Man pops out. He's like, you want some Bona pills?
Yeah.
I went to the retirement home nearby.
Yeah, chopping them up and being like, that tree used to be my wife.
Well, no, kids sexualized trees.
Oh,
yeah, sure. Yeah. Whatever's not nailed down.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And you don't need the lack of internet pornography to do that.
You can just use your brain.
I remember just watching over and over again a video of, I forget who I think it was like Daisy Fuentes or something. She was co-hosting America's Funniest Home Videos and she was wearing heels and she literally just, I would repeat her walking down three pairs of steps.
Because heels, that's your fetish.
Yes, because I love heels. I'm a heels guy.
Let's please not.
I hate feet, love heels.
Let's please not. I don't want to hear your fetishes.
I would have comes to that. I would watch this woman just walk down three stairs.
That's weird.
And rewind and repeat.
I find that weirder than anything we've talked about all day.
Yeah, I think so too. Yeah. But you would just, were you coordinated enough to keep jerking with one hand and doing the rewind with the other?
Yeah, I guess I was. I guess I was just kind of going
back. This was supposed to gain us listeners. Like, this was supposed to help.
And that's why I'd like to be buried in a giant high heel. That says, man, I fucked a bunch.
Man, I fucked a bunch. Just Winnie there, just like, you know, well, no, she won't be at the funeral.
Yeah,
if you're being buried in that way, she hasn't been in your life.
She'll be riding on the back of a motorcycle laughing her ass off all the way to Vegas.
I think the chances of her showing up at his funeral are going to be slim at best.
Depends
no matter what.
How we stack it. because I'll get up there, you know, Ed obviously take the bullet spot.
Yeah,
I come in, you know, like with you, my big long song, being like, glad he's dead.
You know what I'm requesting? We've talked about this. I want Henry, for literally no reason, I don't even like the song, to sing a full a cappella version of Crocodile Rock at my funeral.
I remember when rock was young. Me and Julie had so much fun.
And I want him to say to me, he's like,
holding hands and stepping
stone. There's no reason why he wants, I don't know. And he doesn't even like the song.
And on and on and
then you kick into it. You know.
And the sweetest kick I ever got was a thing called the Crocodile.
And I would be like, holy fucking shit.
And then
everyone,
by the end of it, everyone's happy you're dead.
Yep. And then I'm giggling inside the coffin because I just embezzled a bunch of money from you guys. And that's now
running
I'm
on
with
empty.
It.
Yeah, it's like it's cutting to you. Yeah, yeah. Obviously being like, Holden McNeely
just
is.
Simple, man. yeah, exactly.
God, how did we get here?
Yeah, how we always get here when he's around. It's just he's that we let him lead at one point.
I
it
did,
always
yes.
That he just takes it because we get in this fucking river of slime that he takes with him everywhere.
It's a show.
Yeah. Welcome back to Side Stories, where we can talk to the side and tell a story's tale.
It's not bad.
It's not bad at all. So you want to talk about this bullshit psyop that Ring is running?
Oh, wait, let me do a real quick. I'll do a quick rundown because I think we're almost at the towards the end of the show. Let me do a quick rundown. All right. Number one. Ring cameras or whatever. Yeah. That you feel about this. One thing, like, I don't remember is that when you got a Ring camera, it's going straight to Amazon. They're using your data, blah, blah, blah. But they have a new thing out
Love
that
it.
They're coming out right now, which is Ring is offering $1 million for proof of alien life. And what they're doing that for is essentially to have you turn on an option with the Ring that allows you to just that camera to just roll endlessly because we now find that the police use this type of thing as a way of inner surveillance systems. They're also, they get aggregates. Like, we realize a couple of shit, right? So it seems like this exciting thing because we all want footage of aliens. Everybody wants one.
But the Ring camera is not pointed to the sky.
But the idea that you think an alien will arrive at your door.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Or will just be walking down the sidewalk.
And you'll see it walking down the street. You know what? I also realized this. So at first, yes. My first impulse is surveillance state, blah, 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 helping all of that, helping have more eyeballs everywhere. But I realized the other thing is that the Ring is an Amazon machine. And so these cars and the guys that do the deliveries for Amazon, they drive this. And I imagine that Ring camera, and I might be wrong, sidestorieslpotl@gmail.com, but I'm pretty certain that they have a way of registering when something like an Amazon truck drives in front of the house and makes a delivery. And I bet you this is also a kind of way that you can use to track how fast deliveries are going, how efficient your employees are. And it's like another way to basically, and also find out the delivery schedules for UPS, for the FedEx, how do we beat them on their rates? And it's like, I feel like there's another side thing where they're also using it to spy against themselves.
Maybe, but I feel like there's like petabytes of data involved in
oh,
that.
Oh, yes. Yeah. But then you have a bunch of guys crunching it at all times and then mixed with that's kind of what AI really is for.
Yeah. It's for sifting through all that
all
shit.
All of that garbage.
It's Absolutely. Quite possible.
Holden.
Me like fetus in a Sunday morning.
Yeah, this is you. You called me on the phone and you said, man, Marcus, like, you're like, I love you on Side Stories. You're doing a great job, but it's like, it's getting too smart. Like, you're bringing too much expertise into the show.
We are we're experimenting.
Yeah.
With vibes.
Uh-huh.
And this
so what
is
does
one.
AI stand for?
Al Incompetinto. He's a great guy. I love that guy.
He sells me cigars once a month.
Love that guy.
I don't even smoke them, but I buy him. He's a good salesman.
Do honestly, Holden, like, what is your serious take on aliens or UFOs?
Oh, on UFOs? Well, the man in the suit talked to the government recently, and that was exciting. I remember when that was going down.
What?
The man in the suit was like, they're in Jim's house. They're in Bill's house. They talked to the government. They had the hearing.
Yeah, they did have a UAP hearing.
And,
David Grush, the whistleblower.
Yeah,
with the
or Ocasio Cortez was there, and she was like, we'll fight, you know, we'll fucking fight people and
she
shit.
She didn't say any of that. She didn't say any of that. She's a responsible congresswoman.
I mean, I guess I believe or whatever, but I have the whole thought process of, like, the sad I like the sad theory that we're a waste of their time, so they wouldn't care to come here.
Yeah. Well, there's a lot of talks about that. Like, what if it is indeed true? Because, like, if you look at the universe, the size of the universe, or where we're located in the universe, there's some people that kind of say, apparently, we're sort of off to the side.
Right.
And we might actually be real far from the action.
We're a backwater.
Right, yes. Right.
Or we, I also like the idea, more so practical, full-on aliens are biological creatures, right? Like, let's get past the, I always like the idea that it's interdimensional and there's something else going, there's another layer going on that we don't understand. But let's say it's just, like, creatures that live on another rock somewhere. Like, something like that. What if there's also a possibility that we are actually a new, like, life is new in the universe. We are one of very few points of functioning conscious life in the universe, and that one day, maybe probably closer to the heat death of this planet, that there, we will see a sky filled with actual, like thoughtful, like actual conscious creatures.
That would be interesting. I'm such a pessimist with this stuff. I also like the theory that any civilization or any life out there that gets to a certain point of evolution will instead destroy themselves ever make it out to see.
Called the great filter theory.
Yes. I think that is also another. So, oh, wow. Isn't he a fucking lawyer sometimes about shit? You know what I mean?
A lawyer would have said none of that.
Yeah.
A lawyer would have been like, yeah, I don't know.
A lawyer would have advised me to shut the fuck up and stop doing this show.
And it's also funny how a lawyer is the smartest person you can think of.
That's the only one he could think of. Lawyers know.
And just side note, as far when it comes to collecting data and AI and stuff, I don't give a fuck. Who are you? Oh, your dad is so they want to know all your secrets. What are my secrets? Fucking looking up a walkthrough for Portal 2.
Yeah, I know your secrets are sad.
I jerk off to Brittany Amber.
They are trying to figure out what you spend. Well, we are now aging past the demographic where they particularly care what money we're spending and where we're spending our money.
Too,
we're slowly getting, which else, can you feel the freedom?
Yeah.
You sort of feel, I mean, obviously we're still getting IP is still being constantly
fucking idiot
advertised
four
us.
Four Rubik's Cubes.
Yeah, yeah. Like, who does this? Yeah, yeah. I mean, like, fuck his metrics.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I didn't see my metrics go, fuck this guy's metrics.
Yeah. Over the last month, I do feel things being sold at me and I have bought them. Like, I bought the Nintendo Lego set.
Yes, and I
built it. And
it's
great. It's incredible.
But that's a payoff one. That one's like, wow, this was actually great.
Yeah. Well, you also have disposable income and you literally chose to do that instead of, like, you know, buying a bunch of guns.
Yeah.
Which I think is really nice.
Yeah, indeed. It is really nice.
Yeah, I like my goofy baby toys. You know what I mean? And that's just me.
You like your Rubik's Cubes.
And my arcade stick.
Yeah.
And my fun toy things.
Simple pleasures for a simple boy.
That's the problem. Lexi's like, can you give Winnie her toys back? And I'm like, I want to play with them now.
I'm the daddy. I'm the daddy. I think that's really great.
Yeah, it's beautiful.
Is it time for Hero of the Week?
I think it's time for Hero of the Week.
Now, is it me?
No. Never you.
I'm offended that you even that it even crossed your mind that it could be
you.
Yeah,
what a narcissist.
I'm a simple man across the country.
Even I would not view him as a hero. I would not give that to Forrest Gump. He just ran. He just had a shrimping boat.
Henry, he was a Vietnam veteran war hero.
That was why. No, it's true.
And
something jumped up and bit me.
Yeah. And he upside down rain.
Yep. No, we all remember. Number one, so there is a real hero. I'm not going to get into it because it's fucking lame. Virginia College professor stops the abduction of a college student. Boring. Now, the real hero this week is the guy that invented the pussy-flavored potato chip.
Chaz.
If you go
18
to
up.
ChazChips.com. This guy, delivery takes 7 to 21 working days.
Oh, okay. I was going to say weeks. Jesus.
According
Christ.
To here, this is the description for this. Did you know that the world is going to hell? According to several past years research data across the world, millennials are having 3 times less sex than their parents at the same age.
And the pussy flavor is going to change that.
It's got to, brother.
But he believes.
It is unbelievable that someone is choosing social media instead of live communication, dating, and real sex. Chaz team is young, bold, socially responsible. So we took the disastrous trend very personally. We decided to draw everyone's attention to it and this contribute to solving this problem. And that's how we came up with the idea to create the world's first pussy flavored chips.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, man, and chips with unique taste for brave and free people.
I agree with
that. That's what it's for. Oh yeah, it's great for a gift, and it's a perfect way to test your friend's courage, openness, and sense of humor.
So there you go. This is where we find the fault in this. He's trying to say the fault in our stars.
Mm-hmm.
He's trying to say, oh, I'm trying to like get people horny again, but you have to be brave to eat this chip. What's he trying to say actually about pussy juice and its flavorings? I think he's a negative Nancy.
I think it's more so about the fact that it is now in chip form.
Mm-hmm. Right, right.
I also feel like that this was Google translated from another language because it is Euros, you know.
Well, this is from Europe. UK, according to this. Yeah.
P.S. For girls and women, if this or previous year you were pleased by someone, it is very likely that you have directly contributed to the creation of this taste.
I don't even know what that means.
I don't know what that means either.
Oh, it says here, natural Lithuanian vegetables. What does that even mean?
By the way, I just totally forgot this. We still have a fan sent Jackie and I hot dog flavored candy canes, pickle flavored candy canes, and like ham, I think a ham flavored candy cane.
I've had
well.
Pickle flavored candy canes. They're delicious.
They're not bad.
The thing. Pickle flavoring can kind of work. It can translate. This is my thing with the pussy flavored chip is like, what's his approach to the pussy flavor?
Because
if it's just fucking eye-rolly fish flavor,
yeah, that's dumb.
It's going to be
really
dumb.
Stupid. Well, also, apparently,
but
Chaz...
But if it's really going for it, like, and is it a B.O. pussy-flavored chip?
According to them, they also have dick flavor.
Oh.
They have hemp and jalapenos, right? They have caramelized onion, which actually doesn't sound bad. They have a bread chips. I don't know what that is. Yeah, but they got dick-flavored chips.
Bread chips is a crouton.
You know, I can't.
They have the one chip. They have their own run chip challenge that killed the child.
Nice.
Have you seen that story?
The
yeah,
hot
one
chip challenge.
Yeah, it killed a child.
I wanted to do that on stream. I guess I won't.
No,
it killed a child.
Seriously, fucking Holden.
Don't do it.
Don't do it.
I'm doing it.
It is bad. It's going to be bad for you.
It's going to be real bad for your guts.
I'm not doing it. But I might do it.
You know what? You're allowed. You're a fucking adult.
Well, I feel like can't speak to the taste of dick, but I feel like all dicks taste the same. I feel like it's all pretty similar.
Audience can't see my face, but
yeah,
depending on I would imagine circumcised penises taste one way, uncircumcised penises taste the other way, but I would imagine they're all pretty similar.
Stories, lpotl@gmail.com. Yeah. How many dicks have you tasted? Honestly, I don't agree with Marcus. I think every man's dick is different.
I believe that many dicks, very similar tastes, but vaginas, the tastes are varied.
Yeah, of course.
Very, very, very.
They're many.
The pH balance.
But why would men be any different? They still got bush hair.
Because it's just out.
Like
I said, and a woman is in. And it depends on diet.
Yeah. It depends on your attitude.
I
don't know what my balls smell like. I know up to a point, but not right up in there.
Yeah. You can get a pretty good idea. You ever rub down there and then smell?
Yeah, of course.
Yeah.
All day.
So you know what it smells like.
Yeah, I don't like it.
Yeah. I mean, it's just like...
I've never tasted it, though.
A B-O-E one. Oh, by the way, you degenerates writing it. We're talking about human dicks, okay? Don't fucking be like, a goat's dick tastes like fucking...
You did that jump.
I'm just saying. I know what's about to come around the corner.
Well, Ukrainian borscht flavor.
Oh.
Whoa, actually, mussels and white wine they have.
Oh, that's... Nice.
I bet you they dick a lot of it. God. I would like to see how the audience plays this out. Tell me, how many dicks have you tasted?
Yeah. How many dicks have you tasted? And is there a variation amongst the different dicks that you have tasted?
I mean, women, same thing. It's not like men are like this, blah, blah, blah. But, you know, guys do have upkeep issues, especially through their 20s and into their 30s.
I think it continues. I think men should be washing their dick and balls
pretty
much
often.
Regularly. Technically, you should. That's, you know, it's back in the day. I'm going to get letters on this. But you mostly should just really be washing your dick and balls, your butthole, and your pits.
Yeah.
And then most of the time, especially, you know, depending on what you're going through, like, you don't need a full body shower all the time.
I guess. I mean, you know.
I like
washing.
Well, now that
you're
wash my butthole every day. Yeah.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
I'm not just washing that.
Right.
I'm not always at a YMCA.
Right.
Like, on the run. You know?
It's already in there. We might as well just get the whole body.
Yeah,
if
you're taking a shower, should do it. Yeah,
I just sweat all day, so I have to wash every day. You know what I mean?
Also, wash your legs.
I remember there was a round table where you guys got all upset with me because I was like, I wear more than like two pairs of pants a week. And you guys shamed me for it.
Well, things have changed. Now we have money, and now yeah. I actually
you
can
have
wear
more than two pairs of pants yeah. a week.
I used
you
to have
idiot.
I literally used to have one pair of jeans.
Yeah,
and I had one pair of khakis.
Yeah,
that is what I had.
Right,
and then I had show jeans. Uh-huh. Like I had Murderfish jeans,
uh-huh.
and then I had my every, and then I would then eventually I'd get like one nice jean, but also it was because I was I was hovering between a 46 and a 48, where the only places I could shop was either Burlington Coat Factory or Daffy's. And the problem is that while I love Daffy's, I did happen to start to look like Cedric the Entertainer. Right.
There was also Big Fat Jerry's Make Fun of You Emporium, but that was a tough one because they would just harass.
Oh, as soon as you're in there.
Kill yeah. you. Yeah, absolutely kill
they
you.
They called me the Wicked Pineapple.
I think around like 2008, I wore one pair of jeans from 2008 to 2010.
Yeah.
Every single day.
Yeah.
And they disintegrated. I wore them until they disintegrated
yeah.
because they looked incredible. And I could, there were
yeah.
there were a pair of Levi's that I looked fucking great in.
But I used to
wash
them
until they fucking disintegrated.
I used to wash it and put it in the dryer and shit. I used yeah. to do all that stuff. Yeah. I washed
oh,
the jeans.
You washed your clothes. Very good. You yeah, washed
but
your saying, clothes.
But you know, it's funny. Now that you start getting the stupid fancy jeans, mm-hmm. they're all like, you should actually wait for about 2 years before
right.
you wash your
you
jeans.
Should, you, every time you need to wash it, you have to buy a dog and have the dog lick the jeans until they are clean.
Hey, man. That's how you keep it fresh.
Time for some listener emails?
It's time for these listener emails.
Well, let's start off with a story about a phantom limb. Your recent conversation about what happened to amputated limbs reminded me of this bit of family lore about my great-grandfather, Bill. That has always freaked me out.
It's me, I'm Bill.
He passed away in 2001 when I was around 20. For the last 40 or so years of his life, he wore a prosthetic beginning at the left knee. He had lost his leg when a piece of farm equipment he was repairing one day fell off the jack and landed on the leg. He always had a good sense of humor about it and loved freaking people out with the old stab yourself in the leg gag.
That's fun.
That's a great gag. There was one thing, though, that he never talked about in regards to losing his leg. And this part, it's like a scary stories to tell in the dark story.
Yeah.
Thankfully, his daughter, my grandmother, would talk about it. I had no idea how they handle amputated limbs nowadays, but in this case, they gave Bill the leg so it could be buried in his cemetery plot. For a long while after the amputation, he would complain about his left foot itching. He went to several doctors about this, but none of them could help. One day, he was complaining about it when someone asks, well, did they bury it right? Bill initially laughed this off, but when the itch became too much and he was finally at his wit's end, he called the cemetery and arranged for the leg to be dug up. Sure enough, his leg had been buried wrong, with the foot facing the headstone.
So it had to be facing like a leg?
Mm-hmm. It was facing the wrong way around. They reburied it, this time facing in the correct direction, away from the headstone. From that moment, the itch went away and never came back. That story was enough to give me another reason to fear having a limb amputated. If the hospitals are indeed just burning the limbs now, how would you ever stop the itch?
That's just shit that freaks me out.
That's fun.
Phantom limb freaks me out.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The idea that you're just going to have this, that like that you're going to have a pain and an itch forever.
You can't do anything about it.
Because
I've also heard people then do therapy where they sort of like, they do envision the limb and they relax it. But like you have to have a real tight drum of a mind.
Yeah.
To do it.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Now we're at a serious or is it a scary story? I heard the story secondhand from a family friend who's also my assistant Boy Scout leader. So the story is, as I remember hearing it, as a middle schooler. He's a hunter, and he has been for more than 40 years. In the late 80s, a friend invited him in on an elk hunting trip on a huge piece of property they owned in Wyoming. So it's early November in Wyoming, and it's bitterly cold. He's in a hunting blind long before daybreak, and spends the entire morning watching a large open field where elk have been known to congregate. After several hours in the gray light of dawn, he catches some movement at the edge of the clearing in the corner of his eye. He turns to look, but sees nothing. Instead, he hears a sudden voice shatter the stillness around him.
Hey! What the hell is that?
It's a woman's voice.
Hey! What the hell is that?
And he can clearly make out her words. Was it another hunter? Had his friend invited someone else to hunt on their land this morning? But no hunter would speak that loudly and risk scaring away game. Maybe it was a hiker or a camper who'd gotten lost. He's about to leave his hunting blind to find the source of the voice when movement at the edge of the clearing catches his eye again, and suddenly a huge elk strides from the woods into the field. He sights the elk with his rifle. It doesn't pull the trigger. Something feels wrong. The elk isn't going anywhere or doing anything. It just walks 10 yards or so out in the woods and just stands there, almost as if it wants to be seen. Thank you. And that's when he realizes something else. The entire forest has gone dead silent. No birds, no wind, nothing. Suddenly, a distant gunshot rings out, breaking the eerie silence. He watches in disbelief as the elk suddenly stands up on its back two legs and sprints back into the forest, suddenly looking nothing at all like an elk. The sight of the thing's gangly, hunched posture sends every nerve in his body on high alert, and he fights back the urge to scream. He stays at the blind for another hour, desperately hoping that what it was wasn't waiting out there for him. Finally, he notices that the typical forest noises around him have returned. He makes a break for it, running nearly a mile through the dense woods without stopping. And though they plan to hunt until the early afternoon, it's barely beyond dawn when he arrives back at the truck. He's expecting a long wait for his friend, but to his surprise, he finds that his friend is already there with the truck running and waiting. Without a word, he jumps into the cab and they take off for home. Later that day, he discovers that the gunshot from earlier had been his friend. When the woods had gone completely silent, his friend began to worry and fired a shot in the air. A friend of the family was of the Crow tribe and warned him that when the forest went silent, something terrible and ancient was roaming around. I'm not sure if he actually used the term skinwalker, but he described an ancient monster that could imitate the shape of animals, if imperfectly. He also said that this monster was capable of stealing the voice of its victims, often repeating their last words over and over, in an attempt to lure out unsuspecting people.
I zoned out. Can you read it again?
God, to be your fucking fair parents, man. To be your mother and father looking down on you, just like, especially when you first came out, just being like, oh no. Wow, that was great. That's great. You know, I like it.
That's a great story. Yeah, it's a great.
That's Elky. Remember Ghost, or Elky, the ghost Elky?
Absolutely. Love Elky the ghost.
Yeah.
Who's Elky the ghost?
It was a bit that never really made it anywhere.
No.
We did our last. Okay. We did remember this.
Yeah, we tried a lot of things that people didn't really screamed no at.
Yeah, they were like not into it. Yeah, that was one.
I understand.
Yeah. We did it, yeah, because it was a pirate ship sketch, and then you played Elky, and you were going. You had L, you had like antlers on, and you would like, you'd move your arms like
so
hooves.
The two of you. Wrote and rehearsed and presumably performed a sketch
in our college art area, like black box.
In which there was a bunch of pirates and there was a ghost on the
Elky.
There was a ghost on the pirate ship who was an elk.
Yes. Elky the ghost.
Named Elky the ghost, and he acted like an elk.
Yes.
And the two of you believed that this was. Worth.
And that's still not the idea that Henry pitched that we worked on, that the executive at one point told him that's the most unsellable idea I've ever heard in my entire life.
Well, I remember when I had that meeting with Disney and they were interested in my character that was the world's most molestable boy. And then they said afterwards, being like, we just got to lose the molestable part. And you're like, no way.
So it's the world's most boy?
Just a funny voice. You remember that?
No, don't molest me. No, don't you molest me.
Oh, man.
And yeah, back in the day.
The other idea was Toy Story meets Dahmer. Do with that whatever you will.
It was great.
I love Toy Story meets Dahmer. That idea
oh, yeah,
was
my
fine.
Agent was not
that guy
into it.
He didn't like the talking
he was
in the
not
pot
into
or any
it.
Of that. He didn't like,
he didn't like it.
No.
Hey, man, you know what? Can't fault us for being creative.
Yeah, dude, that's a great idea.
And you know what? I think we successfully brought side stories down.
There I think go. We did.
And we really want to thank you, Holden, for doing this today.
Thanks for bringing it down a peg.
I want to apologize, you know, for doing it. You know,
yeah.
what I mean?
You know, it's all right. Don't worry. We'll get emails.
Yeah.
And then we're just having a lot of fun. We want to go to veeps.com/LPOTL. So we are doing Beach Blanket Bingo live in San Diego. But we know that not a lot of people necessarily in San Diego want to see the show. So buy it online. We'll see it all for free, uncut.
Yeah.
Uncircumcised.
Yeah.
Okay, go watch it. Beach Blanket Bingo, October 20th, San Diego Balboa Theater. We still got some tickets left. Come check it out. You're going to see his fucking ass.
Hey.
You're going to see his ass. I don't know what we're doing.
Oh, yeah. We got to, just to set it on our No Dogs in Space, the bit we're going to do a band that's not Los Angeles, not San Diego, but right in the middle.
Nice.
Between the two.
Oh, between the two. I thought you just meant like vibes.
No. They're not from San Diego. They're not from Los Angeles, but they're from a place right in the middle.
Is it Sublime?
No.
Okay. Smash Mouth?
Sublime!
We have actually, we gave serious consideration to doing a series on Sublime. We did. We have actually thought about it. We've definitely thought about it. Yeah. No, it's not cool at all.
No, it's very sad. It's a very, very sad story.
Yeah. Not a cool band or artist to govern any way whatsoever.
I find it interesting.
It is interesting, but cool. No.
And also, email sidestorieslpotl@gmail.com. We want your scary stories for a listener pasta episode. We're going to do it. We're going to get super creepy in here. Really, really excited. But I've asked for, you know, our guys to go through email. They basically have said, like, please, less than 10 pages. Just because it's a lot of material.
I would say even, let's keep it less than 3 pages.
Right. Just because we want to read it on the air. Keep it short and tight. I'd actually want to hear some real stories if we can get it.
Sure.
Like something that maybe happened to you. Just lie to me. I'll take it.
Yeah, but let's keep it short. Think about how long the stories are on when we do our creepypasta episode and you know, try to tailor it to that.
Get it in that little lump, all right? Yeah. Check this out. So live every day knowing that you're going into the worst pitch of your life.
Yep.
Right? And you just got to love the fact that sometimes...
unsellable idea.
Sometimes an idea is so good, it doesn't deserve to be on television.
Yeah.
All right? And then, because then, you guess what? You know what? Because then you got that idea rent-free in your fucking head. It's living there. I don't need to worry about what they're going to do it. I can laugh at my own idea in my head without them all getting all fucking involved.
Yeah, the movie's in your mind.
It's the movie's in your mind!
Listen to Wizard and the Bruiser on page 7.
Yeah, please. Sure.
Listen to him.
Yeah, good plug.
You're welcome.
This whole thing was a plug.
Yeah.
Indeed.
And I don't know if you're going to get a single listener from this.
People love the sound of my voice.
Kyle Satan.
Okay.
See you, fuckers.
This show is made possible by listeners like you. Thanks to our ad sponsors, you can support our shows by supporting them. For more shows like the one you just listened to, go to lastpodcastnetwork.com.